you're here today to sit at the Lord's table. And the question I have for you is, why? Why are you here? Well, certainly, it's because you're commanded by your Lord to come to the table in remembrance of him. But is there any other reason? Is there any other reason that you would give for coming to the table? Hopefully, one of your reasons would be because of what the Lord Jesus means to you. That he is special to you. That he is precious to you. And hopefully, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, that we read a few moments ago, describes your view of the Lord Jesus. To you who believe, this stone is precious. He is precious. You see, you don't have to be saved for very long before you feel this way about your Savior. You can be saved just a short time and profess to the whole world that to you, your Savior is precious. And if you can personally verify such a sentence from your lips, then you need never raise the question as to whether you've the faith of God's elect, whether or not you're a true believer. For if the Lord Jesus is precious to you, then salvation is truly yours. So it's important to know, is this really how you do feel about Jesus? Is he more precious to you than gold or any other thing that can ever be desired? And if your answer is yes, then you have proved your own possession of saving faith. And praise God today that in the Comfort Presbyterian Church, there are so many who can say, I believe in Jesus and he is precious to me beyond anything else, beyond all compare. And surely, if you're not a believer, surely such a weight of testimony touches your heart. You see, I would understand your unbelief if large numbers of Christians, after a few years, confessed that they had been deceived and that when the novelty wore off, there was really nothing precious about the Lord Jesus. But my friend, your unbelief is hard to understand when you're surrounded by such a number of believers who treasure the Savior. Why do you continue to refuse a Savior to whom so many here bear witness? I can truly say that our witness is not forced. It is joyfully spontaneous. We are glad to bear it on all occasions and in any company. Will you not today resolve to believe in Jesus even as we believe? Will you continue to despise our testimony? The testimony maybe of your own father, your own mother, your own son, your own daughter, your own friend. My friend, believe in Jesus, and he will be to you as precious as he is to us. First of all, I want you to think about what Christ is to his people. The verse says, to you who believe, he is precious. In the Greek, the word precious here, it isn't an adjective, it's a noun. It's actually, to you who believe, is the preciousness. Our Lord's very self is preciousness itself. He is the essence. He's the substance. He's the sum of all preciousness. Every believer will subscribe to this. Many things are more or less precious, but the Lord Jesus is preciousness itself. Now, how does a believer show that Christ is so precious? Will we do so by trusting everything to him? Every believer rests his hope solely upon the saving work of Jesus. And with regard to the past, the present, and the future, the believer finds rest in Christ. The Lord Jesus is the casket into which we have put all our treasures, and we prize him above everything else. All our affection flows towards him. He is all our salvation. He is all our desire. We have deposited with our Lord everything that concerns us. We have committed to him our all. And we know that he is able to keep that which we have committed to him until that day. To believers, the Lord Jesus is very precious. We would give up all that we have sooner than lose him. Christian martyrs have actually given up all for Jesus, time without number. Recent history bears this witness abundantly. Ten of thousands have renounced property. They've renounced their freedom, their lives, sooner than deny Christ. Tens of thousands have dared to go to foreign lands for his name's sake, not counting their lives of any value, that they might spread the gospel, his gospel. And I hope that you who profess here today would be of like mind, that you would part with everything sooner than separate from your Lord. Christian, could you give up your Savior? Could you? Are you prepared to be an outcast? Are you prepared to be the butt of ridicule because of your connection with Jesus? Are you prepared to sacrifice popularity, to sacrifice even friendship, if called upon, rather than give up your Savior? Is he that precious to you? And surely, Christian, you'd rather take up your cross. Surely you'd rather go with Jesus than take up anything that the world has to offer and go away from him. Is this not so? Do you love your Savior so much that for his sake you would suffer the loss of all things? You would count them but loss that you might win Christ and be found in him. If you can say yes to that, then truly he is precious to you. You see, the Savior is everything to the true saint. All that we can want or wish or conceive, we find in him. To the believer, Christ is all. Christ is all sufficient. So precious is Jesus to believers that we cannot speak highly enough of him. And I have to confess to you today that I have never preached a sermon about my Lord which came anywhere near my ideal of his merits. And just like every preacher, I'm always dissatisfied, even when I've done my very best. And I've often wished that I could rush back to the pulpit again and try to preach Christ better, but I'm kept back from such an attempt by fear that probably I might fail even more noticeably. Even our thoughts of the Lord Jesus are far, far below his worth. We can never say enough of God's unspeakable gift. On any other subject, there is a danger of exaggeration. But it's impossible when we're talking about the Lord Jesus. But Christian, if Christ is truly precious to you, how should it be evident in your life? Well, in this way, you will feel that you can never do enough for him. Is that how you feel? That it will not just be talk as far as you're concerned, but that you'll be glad to labor for the one who died for you. Though you may grow weary in his work, you'll never grow weary of it. Do you not often wish that you had 10,000 tongues just to sing the Redeemer's praise? Do you not often wish that you had 10,000 hands, 10,000 bodies, that they might be in 1,000 places at once, seeking to glorify your Savior? If he's really precious to you, this is how you will feel. Is he precious to you? So precious that you want to crown him with infinite glory. You want to set him on a glorious high throne where every soul could see him and love him and adore him. What great things saints have tried to do for Christ, and yet not one of them has expressed any satisfaction with what they've done. All have mourned over their shortcomings. All have wished that they could devise a tribute more equal to what the Savior deserves. We show how precious Christ is to us in that he is our heaven. He is our heaven. Listen to believers on their deathbed. Listen to them talk about their joy in the prospect of being with Christ. Listen to them talk about their joy in death. It will be in seeing their Savior. It will be in seeing Jesus. When they enter heaven, their very first thought is to behold his glory. To believe Jesus is heaven. That's what he is. How precious Jesus is to us. And for something to be rightly called precious, it should have three qualities. It should be rare. It should have intrinsic value of its own. It should possess useful, important properties. And those three things meet in our adorable Lord Jesus and make him precious to us. As for rarity, he is the only one. He is absolutely unique. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. He is the one sacrifice for sin. Not all the wealth of heaven could supply another like him. It's also most clear that he is valuable. I mean, who can estimate our Savior's worth? Not even heaven itself can be compared with Christ Jesus. He is incomparably, immeasurably, inconceivably precious. And as for useful qualities, think of his life, how it gives life to the believer. Think of his death, how it redeems from hell all who trust in him. Think of his resurrection, how it justifies the believer. Think of his second coming, how it delights our hearts. Think of our Lord in all of his offices of prophet, priest, and king. All good things meet in him, and meet in him in abundance, even superabundance. For truly, he is precious indeed. And never is Christ more precious to us than when we approach this table. At the table, we see him despised and rejected of men. We remember how the world knew him not. We remember how the world spat upon him, how they beat him, and they mocked him, and they crucified him. To the world, he meant nothing. But to we who believe, to us, he is glorious in our eyes. Precious is our Lord Jesus, as in our mind's eye we see him on that cross, bearing our sin in his own body. Precious is he when, forsaken by God the Father, he discharged all our debt by his sacrifice. Precious is he when, being raised from the dead, he guaranteed our resurrection. He's also precious to us because he's precious to God the Father. Our Heavenly Father never looks with such delight on any as he does upon his own Son. Do you remember his own words? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Shall we not do the same? And since we're pleased with Jesus, the Father is pleased with us. We've been considering what Christ is to his people. He is precious. Just one other thing I wanted to consider, and it's this. What is it in the believer which makes us prize Christ as being precious? And the answer is our faith. What does the text say? To you who believe, he is precious. To carnal men and women, our Lord Jesus is far from precious. To human wisdom, Christ is not precious at all. And all around us, we see man's attempt to get rid of his deity. We see men's attempt to trample on his precious blood, to pour ridicule on the scriptures. But to us who believe, he is precious. Faith calls him precious when others esteem him a root out of the dry ground. The Bible never expects that without faith, men will glorify Christ, because the natural man is blind to the things of the Spirit. And my unsaved friend, you will never get to see the real Christ, who is precious to believers, except there be a personal act of faith in him. You see, the Holy Spirit has moved the scales from the eyes of the person that believes. If you trust the Savior as a sinner must trust in him, you know more of him by that act of faith than all the theological colleges that could have taught you. Because an ounce of faith is better than a ton of learning. My unsaved friend, do you ever wonder, does it puzzle you, why Christians speak of Jesus in this way? Does it puzzle you why Christians consider him to be so precious? The reason that puzzles you is that as yet you'll not trust in him. You'll not rest in him. You're without faith. Therefore, he has no value to you. And to my brothers and sisters in the Lord here this morning, be warned. If you have faith in Christ, but do not exercise it every day, he will not be very precious to you. But if your faith keeps its eye fixed on him, you will more and more clearly perceive his beauties. If your soul is driven to Jesus again and again, if your faith anchors in him continually, then he will indeed be more and more precious to you day by day. If you doubt Christ, he will go down in your esteem. Every doubt is a Christ crucifier. Every time you give way to skepticism, every time you give way to a critical questioning, you lose a little of the Lord's beauty. And in proportion as you believe with a faith which is childlike and clear and simple and strong, in that proportion will Christ be more and more precious to you. So don't give time, don't give space to doubt. Keep doubt out of your soul and you will progress to discover even more of the preciousness of the Savior. God grant you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, by faith, to know the preciousness of Christ. For only to you that believe is he precious. To you that doubt, to you that mistrust, he is without form or comeliness. But to you that believe without reserve, he is precious beyond all price. We've been thinking what Christ is to his people, precious. What is it in the believer which makes his prize Christ as being precious? Faith. To you who believe, he is precious. And as we approach the table of our precious Savior, I want us to do so knowing how our Savior views us. To the one whose table we will soon sit at, we are precious. Listen to Isaiah 43 and verse 4. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, I love you. Christian, you are honorable before God, now that he has become your salvation. And since the last time you sat at the table, did someone laugh at you for Christ's sake? Since the last time you sat at the table, did you suffer criticism for Christ's truth? My friend, painful and unpleasant it may have been, but I want you to see what it really was. It was the highest honor. It was the highest honor to have been denounced, to have been ridiculed for the sake of Christ and his gospel. Thank your Lord that you're associated with his old-fashioned cross. Thank the Lord that you're associated with his time-worn truth, with his despised atonement, with his archaic Bible in the eyes of some. Thank your Lord that Jesus, the substitute, is your Savior, and that the doctrines of grace are your glory. What we do at this table, we do in remembrance of him, the precious one, until he returns. The 118th Psalm depicts the triumph of the saints in the day when Christ shall appear in all his glory, and all the adversaries of the believer have been destroyed and burned up, but the believer's safe, and more, he is glorified as he sees his despised and rejected Lord made head over all things in his church. And when our Lord returns, it will no longer be crucify him, but rather it will be crown him. He'll return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on that day, the praises of men and angels will break forth again and again for him. On that day, to you that believe, he'll be honored, and you shall be his honored guests when he mounts his throne. When the Lord returns, the angels will carry you, as it were, as trophies through the golden streets, and they'll look at you and they'll say, here's a man, here's a woman that believed in Jesus when the world despised him. He or she dared to own his Lord, to stand up for his truth. Honor to that man. Honor to that woman. Honor to all who bore this honor for Christ. Why did we bear this honor for Christ? Because to us who believe, he is precious. Before I finish, I would beg you to consider how you stand in this matter. Do you believe savingly in Jesus? If you do believe, well then come forward to the table. Confess that sacred name of Jesus. Own up to the fact that you're a follower of the Lamb of God. And then in the day when the Lamb of God distributes his crowns, he will have a crown for you. Come and join with me in sitting at the table of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.